welcome to season 4, episode 2 of the Grand Cast. Today is Tuesday.
Yep.
October the 2nd, 2017. I don't normally record on Tuesdays, but due to shifting schedules this early evening, my guest is Stevie Elizabeth.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that's actually funny because everybody calls me that, and it's being written up on like official paperwork too, Stevie Elizabeth, because that's my Facebook name.
Yeah, that's pretty much official now.
Yeah, I mean, my last name is not Elizabeth. It's my middle name, so.
I couldn't pronounce your last name.
Yeah, my last name is Sahotsky. It's Polish. So I'm not surprised at your hesitance to try to pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm culturally ignorant when it comes to people from the country of Poland.
Yeah, I mean, me too, really, but...
Yeah, I phrased that poorly. People whose ancestors originate from the region of Poland.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, just funny that that's... It literally popped up on an official document the other day. Like, I was in a work meeting, and they had me listed as Stevie Sahutsky, and I was, or as Stevie Elizabeth, and I was just like, could you change that to Sahutsky and maybe email me if you want my last name and not just Facebook?
Do you keep in touch with your Polish heritage?
In so much as, like, my dad and grandma usually do like a kielbasa and sauerkraut dish for Thanksgiving. So there's that, but I don't speak Polish or anything like that. So,
Will you be participating in the Pulaski Days festival coming up here?
I don't see
this
why
weekend,
not.
I think.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can get out there. But it's a little bit tough too, though, because a lot of Polish food is very sausage based, right?
Yeah, it is.
And I don't eat meat, so
I
would just be there smelling all of it like, this smells delicious, but I'm choosing not to eat any of it.
Yeah, eating only sauerkraut, probably not so good.
Yeah.
What's in a pierogi? That's like a potato
dumpling. Yeah, a lot of pierogies are like cheese and potatoes. They have like broccoli and stuff like that in them. Some of them have like bacon or ham sometimes, but yeah, but mostly they're vegetarian, so yeah, I could probably go get some good pierogies.
Yeah. So you're vegetarian, not vegan? Mm-hmm. Or pescatarian?
Well,
or
pescatarian anything? Technically, yeah.
Okay.
But so maybe if they made like fish sausage, which I hear is a thing.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Fish sausage.
But I don't know if they make Polish fish sausage.
Somebody out there.
If they do, I'm not sure if I want to try it.
Huh. Could be $1 million business idea.
Maybe.
There's a lot of
appeal to the Polish pescatarians.
Yeah. So you eat like all fish and seafood?
Yeah.
What makes them
plants
like food worthy?
It's mostly just because I had to, because of my line of work is very like physically demanding, and I work in the entertainment industry, and so you'll get like craft services there a lot, and I just couldn't sustain myself on like grilled cheese and like french fries anymore.
Yeah.
Or like iceberg lettuce salads. So I picked up eating fish just to supplement my nutritional needs a little bit more, because if you're working a lot and you're hungry and you need something more than just, you know, a salad. Hmm. Or I do anyway, so.
How did iceberg lettuce become a thing? It's so terrible.
I don't know. It's really just like a conduit for ranch for most people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't taste like anything. Yeah, it's a little crunchy, but it doesn't really taste like anything, right?
Mm-mm.
It's a perfect medium for ranch.
I suppose. It's all a Hidden Valley conspiracy.
Could be.
From big dressing.
Yeah, the one brother has the ranch deal, and the other brother has the iceberg lettuce deal. And that's how they...
And then it's just marketing from there.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll have to look into that more later.
Write it down. Make a note of it.
Iceberg...
lettuce conspiracy.
Conspiracy. I like to start out each episode including the mission statement and goals for the show. And the mission statement is that the purpose of the Grandcast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. So that's what we're here doing for another 10 episodes after this.
Winding down.
Winding up.
Winding up, yeah.
Gonna quit at the top.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure for the last person.
They can handle it. Maybe I should have an emergency, like, backup final episode.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll release them out of order so the person doing the last episode doesn't even know that they're doing it.
Ooh, there you go.
Just never tell the person that they're the last guest.
You could, like, record a whole bunch of episodes and then just pick the one like they're doing for Game of Thrones.
Everyone
to throw people
that
off.
This is the yeah. last episode. We'll see. Stay tuned to find out what happens in the exciting conclusion of the Grandcast. And I have two goals. The first being to post one new episode weekly. Look out this week for the season 3 finale to be released with Joe Anderson.
Ooh.
Very good episode. So I've been, on average, meeting that goal. Got a little, went through a dry spell there, but now back on track.
That'll happen.
Yep. That's life. And then the second goal is that I would like to make at least two people's day better through the creation of quality content per episode.
Mm-hmm.
And with this being season 4, episode 2, 42, I would like to talk about the number 42.
Okay.
With a short excerpt from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
The number 42 is, in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by author Douglas Adams.
Correct, yep.
The answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Calculated by an enormous supercomputer named Deep Thought over a period of 7.5 million years.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, no one knows what the question is.
Yeah, that was the big thing at the end of the book, is that the computer spit out the answer, and then they were just like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then the computer was like, well, you didn't ask me the question.
Yep.
So
probably be another 7.5 million years until you find out what that is.
Mm-hmm. I liked that book. I have a copy of it, a physical copy of it, that I actually still have from an ex-boyfriend. Never gave it back.
Have you read the whole series? There's 5 Hitchhiker's Guide books, I believe.
No, maybe, no, yes, no. It's a big book. Did I read all of the series in just the one book? Is it a compilation?
They offer it as a compilation.
Maybe I did then. Yeah.
It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
I'm holding up two fingers that are approximately...
like 3 inches apart, maybe.
That's 3 inches? Oh, that's very generous. I was going to say more like 2, but...
Yeah, with like 2.5,
I prefer that
maybe.
Perception.
Yeah. I'm a little bit far away. My glasses are a little bit...
about 3 inches
fogged
thick.
Fogged up, I don't know.
Fantastic novels, though. And a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You see the movie?
I did. I liked it.
Well done job on that.
Yep.
As far as book adaptations go.
Yeah, I thought so too.
You like sci-fi in general?
I do. I'm like really bad with like pop culture-y stuff, but yes, generally I like sci-fi. You said Firefly, which I thought I heard at first, which I guess fits in with that question because I like Firefly. Mm. That series was really good.
Yeah, it's too bad that wasn't longer. Or maybe not. Maybe they would have gone.
Maybe it would have been horrible after that. Yeah. It's probably not my like first pick for entertainment, but I like it generally.
Have you been watching the new Star Trek?
I have not. Mm-mm.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's pretty heavy on the drama side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been watching The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane's new show.
Okay.
And it's essentially more episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay.
But more comedic. I think it's extremely well done.
Oh, I think I've seen commercials for it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just the comedy focus. They follow like the spirit of the Next Generation original series with a little bit of philosophy and social commentary,
mm-hmm.
and also some very good comedy. Norm MacDonald is part of the cast.
Yeah.
Very funny.
If, I'll preface the rest of this by saying that you can throw out names and people to me, but I'm like really, really not great with references and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of sitting here nodding like, yep, I don't know who you're talking about.
Norm MacDonald is a comedian who was on Saturday Night Live for a very long time, hosted Weekend Update.
Okay.
And also does stand up. He has a very unique delivery.
Cool.
He also has a podcast on YouTube, Norm MacDonald Live.
Ooh.
Which has had some very good guests. Jerry Seinfeld, which you might have heard of.
I have.
David Letterman, he was on TV for a minute.
Yep, I've heard of those two people.
And other lesser famous individuals.
Yeah.
I follow film and television quite closely for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's all relative, right? Because I'm not that old.
Not that old. You're not 42.
I don't remember when television was invented or anything.
No. You remember when the internet was invented, though?
No, not.
I remember when the internet was ARPANET.
ARPANET was like.
Well, I remember when we like first got internet.
Yeah,
I remember.
Modern internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that quite fondly.
Mm-hmm.
The old America Online.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Definitely, I was. Helping someone with their computer the other day, and they still use AOL for email. And when they sign in to their email, it does it. You've got mail.
Oh, God.
It was so good. I hadn't heard that in so long.
Yeah. And they've got, like, a goldfish now for their... They modernized, like, all of their, like, logos and stuff like that.
Oh, are you an AOL user?
I'm not, but I'll stumble... I don't know why, but I'll stumble across it every so often.
Huh.
And I'm just like, oh, that's... appealing, but you're just, I know you're an old company. Isn't that kind of funny though too, that like emails like don't expire, right? And like how many people had an AOL email address, but then like how many, like I used to have a Yahoo account, and then once Gmail became cool, I was like, all right, I'm getting a Gmail account, and switched everything over, and like my Yahoo account was like fine, like it works and everything like that.
Still out there, probably.
Yeah, well, I think I closed it.
Oh,
yeah. So, but yeah, but I don't know. It's funny just to think that email addresses can be trendy. It's like you don't just change your mailing address to be trendy at like your physical mailing address, but your email address, I guess you can.
You just gotta buy your own domain and just have your own address forever.
Yeah, could do that.
Or maybe you get bored of that, you want to switch to the hot new email provider,
right? Who's it gonna be? It's like MySpace email. It's gonna be the next hot thing. It'll come out of left field, you won't even know.
I feel bad for kids these days because all the good email addresses are already taken.
Yeah,
like if they want a Gmail, they gotta be like jimmybob725 at gmail.com or something.
Yep. Well, I mean, they'll make do. Hey.
Yeah. It's the same with domain names, I guess.
Sucks to suck, I guess, for them.
Yeah. Maybe that's like real estate, too. People got in early enough, and now...
Yeah, now all the millennials, just... like all the baby boomers are just like, sucks to suck.
Yeah.
Millennials are looking at places, and they're like, I can't afford this rent. Baby boomers are like, should have been born earlier.
Yep. Grand Rapids is still pretty affordable, all things considered.
All things considered right now, as is, but yeah.
not as affordable as it used to be, but what places?
Everything's going up. That's how money works, I'm told.
Capitalism.
Woo!
Like it or not, that's what we're using.
Yep.
First question of the interview portion for you. What is your favorite color?
Favorite color? Oh, shoot, you know what? And I knew this question was coming, and I was just like, you should prepare for it. But then I didn't. My favorite color is indigo, or as some have pointed out to me, blurple.
That's a stink bug, sorry.
It's okay, I have a bunch of them in my house too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one over there.
Yeah.
They're invading.
Yeah, they hang out with each other.
Did you say blurple?
Indigo. Yeah, it's blue and purple mixed together. Really, it's what it's like, the color of the night sky after the sunset fades away.
Mm. It's a nice one.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the sunrise, too.
I am not as big of a fan of sunrise as sunset, but I feel like that's mostly because we live on the west side of Michigan, and there's really great places to see the sunset, especially over the lake. So.
Yeah. I just like the purples in the sunrise better.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like sunsets are more of the like the yellow, orange, red, mm-hmm. and then into like blue and dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
Sunrises, there's a lot of like pinks and purples that are
that's fair
quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're nice. They are nice too when I'm like awake to see them.
It depends on the situation. Sometimes it's terrible.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's terrible, I think. For me, at least. That means I got up before it was light in the sky.
I feel like that's saying something if you like prefer sunrises over sunsets, but you're still like in a terrible situation. It's like, wow, he must like those a lot.
I like to watch them. I just don't like the conditions under which I watch them, I guess. Well. If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
I think I thought about this question a lot when I was little.
Hmm.
I really liked the wild thornberries and the idea of being able to speak with animals. And I think I would have been some sort of bird.
Smashing.
Smashing, yes. It's weird what little pieces of nostalgia from our childhood have like come into our like meme culture.
Yes.
But yeah, I think a bird. I've always loved flying and the idea of being in the air and being able to do that. I used to have dreams about it.
Hmm.
Like where I was.
Is there a particular type of bird?
Did you ever read Animorphs?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There was one character, I don't remember who, but he could change into a red-tailed hawk.
Hmm.
And so that was my answer for a long time. But it's either that or I would do like a little sparrow. Just because they're like small and inconspicuous and kind of, I think they're cute. And they flit around places and they make nice songs. They're not really obnoxious. So.
As a bird, you would eat meat?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I mean, oh, so people like phrase that question to me all the time. They're like, well, what if mm-hmm. you fall out of an airplane, you know, like a lot of people do, and you're in the middle of a desert, you know, and then there's nothing to eat except for like a lizard or like a rabbit. And so you have to kill it and eat it. Like, what do? And I'm like, well, I fucking kill the thing and eat it. Like, obviously, uh-huh. if I'm in a survival situation, I'm going to, like, it's, you know, my high morals that are afforded to me through society, like, are going to go out the window. Not dumb.
Yeah.
But.
There's something that's, like, the only difference between society and chaos is, like, three meals.
Right. No, you're not joking. Yeah.
Yep. So it's good that people can buy 99-cent cheeseburgers.
Yep. Very
even
good.
Even if it's not an ideal food situation.
Oh, God.
To put it lightly.
Yeah.
What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
That would be me like staying up too late watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? I remember watching it for like such long extended period, like periods of time that like my butt would hurt from sitting on the floor for too long. But, and like my eyes would get tired watching the TV too close.
Wow.
Yeah. That's but dedication. I loved that show. I thought it was hilarious and I thought it was amazing. And, it's like, it was just magic to watch those guys do what they did and to know that they were making everything up like on the spot. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And
still is.
I think, yeah, I still think that.
No, it's still on.
Oh, yes.
Did you watch the new seasons?
I haven't a lot. I'm not
They're
a huge, yeah, I'm not a huge TV watcher anymore, but yeah, but I should look into those. But, yeah, I just remember like watching them and like thinking it was like so amazing. And I'm like, I'll never be able to do that myself. And then here I am. So.
How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
That was in college. I heard of an improv troupe that was with the theater department at CMU called Trapdoor Improv. And I went and saw one of their shows with a couple friends of mine and liked them so much that I, like, you know, we went and saw their shows regularly whenever they had them.
At Carnegie Mellon University?
No, sorry. At Central Michigan University.
Ah, in uh-huh. Mount Pleasant?
In Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Yes. They were really great, and the group of people that I saw performing that semester were like really, really tight, very funny, very well rehearsed. And they had a workshop at the end, if you wanted to try it out. And my friends like goaded me into doing it. Like, I expressed like a little bit of an interest and they're like, you should do it. And like made me go. And then I liked it so much that I actually, it was apparently good enough to catch the eye of one of the, improvisers from Trapdoor. His name is Isaac. And he approached me and was like, you should come to our auditions. I think you'd have a really good chance. And I went back and forth on it again. And then I came out to the auditions and tried out. I made the first cut, and then, you know, they brought me back to round two. And I was, you know, in the room with a lot of really good, talented people, and a lot of people that were a lot way more experienced than me. I didn't make the second cut, but it was actually really cool because Isaac messaged me on Facebook after that, and specifically was like, "Hey, you've got a lot of talent, and really we just didn't pick you, like you just didn't make it, like, and the only reason was because you weren't as experienced as some of the other people, so." You know, and he told me about this other group, After Hours Improv. And he was like, you should go and you should, you know, work with them and get some more experience and seriously keep doing this because you're really good. And I literally printed that little Facebook message out and like put, like glued it into my journal. So like whenever I was feeling just like bad about my improv and stuff, I just went back and looked at that and felt better.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then you continued to perform with After Hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I joined the troupe. Well, they're not really a troupe. They're just, After Hours is different than Trapdoor in that they're like an open group, and it's really technically just a workshop group. Like they perform and stuff, but they're not like technically a improv troupe. But I joined that group close to the end of the year, and then was with them for the last 3 years that I was in college. And for two of those years, I was actually the president of that group. And yeah, did a lot of growing with it, and made a lot of memories, made a lot of really good friends there. So,
any of the other well-known Grand Rapids?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of after hours people here in Grand Rapids. Will Trotter's here, and Ryan Lathrop. I got your last name right because I kept saying Lanthrop.
Lanthrop?
Yeah, I put an N in it for some reason. But it's Lathrop.
Hmm.
And then Mike Nichols, who is not in Grand Rapids physically. He's actually back in Mount Pleasant at this current moment in time and is part of that group again, after hours. There's actually a couple people from Trapdoor here in Grand Rapids also.
Oh.
Yeah. Anna Trupiano lives here, which if she hears this is going to sound really weird that I remember who she is like at all. And then, I think Rebecca Trombley. No, she's in Chicago. I thought she was here, but I think she's in Chicago. But yeah.
Let's talk about Late Night GR.
Oh, okay. What would you like to know about Late Night GR?
There's been a little confusion about this prompt in a couple episodes. Basically, what I'm asking is, could you please talk about
Late
Night GR?
Sure. Yeah, Late Night Grand Rapids is a sketch comedy group here in, as you might have guessed, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we do a lot of sketch stuff. We do some sketch prov stuff. we try to make digital content. I think it was founded by Alistair Watt. And then Sean Francis is a big person in that too. Well, for me anyway, because he was sort of my in for getting into that group. I'm the newest member of that group right now. I just joined like at the beginning of the summer, like late spring. So, but it's been a lot of fun. I hadn't really explored sketch writing too much myself personally prior to this, but it's definitely been something that I've been enjoying a lot. And I've had a lot of fun working with everyone, with Al and Sean and Danielle and Laura and KJ, like bringing these different sketches and things to life, and Sarah Wenger. So yeah, it's a good group.
It's always been a great show when I've seen them.
Yeah, I'm glad. Our last show got a little bit weird. I forget. Did you come to that one?
The finale of That's My Improv?
No. Our last...
That's My Sitcom.
Yeah, That's My Sitcom. Yeah. No, our last actual sketch show. Were you at the back to school one?
I
would assume
I was there. I hope I was there.
No, I can't... Well, I can't remember if you were at the early one or the late one.
I went to both.
You went to both? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So the last one got just a little bit crazy. I had to like drag Al off stage in a, like he was wearing a velvet unitard and
yep. That was a very emotional dance routine. Mm-hmm. Or not routine, but that was improvised. Is it still called a routine if it's improvised?
I'm not sure. Al's the resident dance expert in that group. Mm. So I guess maybe. I don't know
the vocabulary of
me neither.
The dance world.
Yeah, no, it was all improvised. He basically just approached me and was like, do you want to like participate in a dance piece with me? And I was like, I have no dancing experience. And he was like, that's okay. We're just improvising it anyway. So it's not anything that you have to learn or know. And I was just like, okay. So yeah, that piece was, the idea behind it was that he wanted it to be in complete darkness and to just be making sounds on stage and stomping around. And then the end of it was supposed to be that we were in the middle of the stage just breathing heavily and like sweat dripping down our bodies. But the thing that went wrong was that the lights never came back up for that to end that dance. And so Al just was like, I had exited the stage already, and Al was just like I guess, smacking his ass with a chair, with a metal chair, and like laying on the floor. And I was like changing in the green room for my next bit. And and I like see the lights are still down and everything like that. And I like, I said to Sean, I'm like, is Al still out there? And Sean's like, yeah, I don't know what to do. So I like went out there. I'm like half dressed and like just like grabbed him by the arms and dragged him off. So yeah, it was Al takes things to places that you don't expect sometimes, which is why we love him.
Yes. Very passionate performer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you a member of Funny Girls?
I am a member of Funny Girls. I do not hold the title of being the newest member of Funny Girls anymore. That is currently Francesca. So Fresca is our newly voted in member. I actually had to take some time off of Funny Girls this past month because I was out traveling for work a lot, unfortunately, but it is what it is. They put on a really cool show, though, that I was really sad to miss, which was Grand Rapids, a musical, sort of. Did you get to go see it?
No, it's sold out both nights. I was hoping for an extended performance schedule, but maybe next year?
I don't know if they'll like put it on again. I mean, if it sold out two shows, I guess it'd be worth it, but...
Hopefully. Yeah. I'd like to see it at some point.
Well, and then Sean has like video of it. Yeah, so...
In the archives?
In the archives, yeah. I'll pull some strings and try and get something put together so that people that missed it can experience it somewhat.
I've been meaning to talk to Sean about the archives.
A lot of people have been meaning to talk to Sean about the archives.
Good backup policies being
there are
utilized.
There are. I've witnessed them. I've bore witness. Bared witness. Yeah.
Bared witness.
Yeah.
Like the animal?
I guess either is an animal, right? Whether it's bared or bored. Bore. Is that the past tense of like bear witness? Is bore witness? Or is it bared witness? I don't know.
I don't know. Question for the ages. Have you been a part of any other troupes or tried performing other forms of comedy besides improv and sketch?
Yeah. So I am a part of a couple other things. I help run Comedy Outlet Mondays at Dog Story every Monday. Sometimes I'll run tech, I'll do photography and like do videography. That's actually really how I got my foot in the door here in the Grand Rapids comedy scene. Was just one night at Dog Story. I was planning on going to the Com, and it was pretty early on because I moved to Grand Rapids not really knowing anyone, and I went to Com just to try to meet people and to see what was out there. And I had been friends with Sean already, and we were friends on Facebook, and he posted about needing someone to run tech for the show that night, and I, you know, messaged him and was like, I'm available and also like skilled in that specific area, so if you'd like, I can do that. And then yeah, from there I just kind of helped him with whatever he needed, as you know, when I was at Com. And one day Aaron was just like, yeah, we're just going to bring you into the team. I don't know exactly what like your title is going to be or, or what you're going to do. I just want you to know that you're on the team. And I was just like, okay. So I'm on that team. And then I'm also in a fairly new improv troupe called SOFA. Which was the brainchild of Brandon Holstein, and has since grown to be a really cool group project between himself and me and Joe and Kristen and Josh and Tom Hunt. So a lot of good Grand Rapids people in this group. Ren's also a part of the group, but she's been in California for the last couple months. And she's been posting some beautiful pictures, and I'm so happy for her and to see everything that she's been doing, but I miss her a lot. But yeah.
I am a fan of SOFA, and yeah. Effective immediately, I am forming the unofficial fan club for SOFA.
Yay!
So if anyone would like to join that unofficial fan club, please talk to me at some point or send me a message through whatever medium you prefer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good group. We've been having a lot of fun with it. We've got our next performance coming up here on the 9th, so in less than a week, it'll be...
Next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Which will probably be a prior Monday once this episode airs.
Yes, this will be out 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, but if it's aired in time for Griff, we'll be performing for Griff also.
It will be coming out in advance of Griff, there definitely.
Yeah, we are... Oh, gosh. I'd have to look up what day we're performing, but I know we have a performance day for Griff, so.
We'll have to look that up at the break so you can mention it in the second half of the show.
Will do. Yeah, I think that was an answer to that question.
It was. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
I think it's a toss-up for me between improv and sketch comedy because it's you can see I've seen some really good, really great, amazing improv, and then I've seen like a lot of so-so improv, and it's the same with sketch comedy, and really I guess it's the same with stand-up too. Stand-up kind of like falls to the wayside for me though because there's a lot of like male viewpoints in there that I don't really identify with that. Yeah. So yeah. I love watching Kara and Megan and Kristen and, you know, all the funny girls doing their stand-up stuff and Angelica. But it's Sydney too. But it's tough to watch some of the guys sometimes.
Some of them.
Yeah. Some of them are really great.
Some of the girls, too.
Yeah, it is. It's. I'm obviously a little biased because I'm in a comedy group with them. But, yeah. There are some ladies that get up there that are a little bit less than impressive.
And there's some talented male comedians.
There really are. In town. Yes. Hashtag also. Not all male comedians, I guess.
Yeah, but there's definitely a lot of material that comes out that would make people uncomfortable if they didn't have a relatively thick skin.
I was told once by someone that like when female improvisers first start out, they fall into one of two categories a lot, and this isn't like a hard rule, but like it's like either they're very quiet and kind of stand off to the side and don't really engage in conversation in the scene, or they're very big and loud and like suck this dick, like, oh, I'm a lady and I'm saying like crazy stuff, like kind of personalities. I feel like some ladies that are on stage doing stand-up can also kind of fall into those categories, but more often than not, it's like they're just like the big brass characters that make really crude jokes and try to be like one of the guys, and that's not my favorite type of comedy. Like I like true comedy that comes from a place that you like, that you know, and that is, you know, more universal and that you can identify with, and like, you know, those are like poop and fart jokes, like they might get a laugh or like some sort of reaction out of you, but
fart
like
jokes are hilarious.
Yeah, but they're like very like singular, like the one dimensional, so Chris disagrees. Well, you can like hear a fart joke and like you can smell a good fart joke and like there's a lot of different like senses that are like
it can be nuanced.
It could, you can have nuanced. Okay, Chris, if you want to like get into it, yeah, you can have nuanced anything. But,
but how do you feel about dog jokes?
I like dog jokes. I've really liked your bits that you've been coming up with. I thought that, no, I really have. I think that they've been really clever. I don't know if you've talked about this on past episodes or not, but Chris has been coming to Dog Story and doing, we're going to turn the camera on Chris for a second. He's been coming to Dog Story and doing some dog related humor bits, and they've all been really, really fun and really great.
There's been some not so great ones.
Which ones don't you like?
The game show went.
The game show, I think, went a little long. Gosh, goddamn. The game show went a little long, but it's like I like the idea of it. I thought you were gonna come and do like dog breeds, So I was a little bit.
That's a good idea for a future episode.
Could be, yeah. But yeah, no, I thought that it was a nice idea, and it was a good bit to have the squeaky toy too, the dog toy along with the bell. Oh, there it is! Look, it's right on the table. Yeah,
so that can be a sound effect option.
There we go.
For the guest, nothing like a good squeaky toy.
Mm-mm. Especially not if you got four legs and fur.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I ordered some bike bells. Also, like the little jing, 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 jing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's how it's going to sound.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. I'm hoping. We'll see.
Well, it should be good. I've liked your stuff so far, so.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. Bell noises are just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also a good Pavlovian reinforcement mechanism.
Yeah.
If you had to be transformed into a plant, which type of plant would you choose to be?
Ooh. Well, that's a good question. I feel like I would be some sort of tree, like a good old oak tree. Nice strong oak, or something like really big that like grows in the rainforest, or like a red, like the redwoods in California, something like that. Just because I think that like I love looking at old trees. I actually just went on a walk today with Zach Chirporn, and we were out at a park and just like I climbed a tree and was like I'm a real like hippie tree hugger type. Like I think they're really cool. I like thinking about when they were planted and what it was like to grow and how old they are. So I think it'd be cool to be something like that.
Yeah. How's Zach doing?
He's doing good. He's getting out and like hanging out with people and walking around a lot, and I feel like this is going to sound for people that like have no context that he's like getting over like being hospitalized or something. like he's walking around a lot. Like, no, he's doing good. Yeah.
Yeah. KJ and the Good Time Family Band have been on a short hiatus, but they're back soon.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good show.
Oh, it's always a good show, especially when you're at a venue where you can like dance around and there aren't like tables and stuff. Especially like the first time I saw them was at Mulligan's, and it was there was a lot of like jumping and dancing, and they're just so like fun and funky and groovy. It's hard not
vivacious.
To
vivacious.
They are vivacious. That's a great word.
I'm not entirely certain what it means, but I feel like it probably describes
them and
ambiance.
Like and like a 45-year-old lady who's like recently divorced and just got her nails done. She's like vivacious.
She'd say she is.
Yeah, she definitely would. She would use that word. She's like,
she
I'm gonna
know what it means either.
She's like, I'm gonna install Tinder. I'm vivacious.
It's probably in her profile.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
I'll have to do some research.
Move that slider up a little bit.
Expand my vocabulary. Yeah. Let's talk about living in Arizona.
Ooh, how did you know that?
I believe you mentioned
we were walking
from Dog Story Theater to
Hopcat,
I believe, Hopcat. For the wing discount Mondays.
Mm, that sounds familiar. Yeah, I was born in Arizona. I was born in Mesa, but I grew up in Tucson.
Mesa is Spanish for table.
Ooh. I was born on a table or in the context of a table. I don't know what that means about the rest of my life.
Hmm. I don't know what Tucson means or if it means anything.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it means two sons.
It might. I lived there until I was, I think six. I was in first grade. And then we moved to Michigan because my grandma got into an accident at work and my dad wanted to live near her and stuff. So, living in Arizona was hot. But one of my favorite...
How hot was it?
It was so hot. One of my favorite parts about living out there was when it rained. Because you could hear it coming over the desert, and it made everything smell different. It was really cool. Sometimes I get like hints of it here in Michigan when it rains, especially on like a hot summer day, but there's just something about like the electricity and, you know, that's like slight smell of like burning and the rumble of the thunder and feeling the pressure drop and all of the rain mixing with all of the dust and stuff like that. That's very special to that part of the world. I haven't gone back and visited in like years. I was there working the last 2 years in the winter. But that's not the same as visiting. So I'd like to go back and visit sometime soon.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is a good movie that you watched recently?
Ooh, a good movie that I watched recently. Might take a minute because I've been on a lot of TV show kicks. We've been working through Twin Peaks. Oh, you know what? You know what I should tell you about is it is not a good movie, but it's a good movie in how bad it is. Mm. So shout out to Kimmy Snyder for recommending this movie. It's called Fateful Findings, and it's by this man named Neil Breen, and he lives in this isn't what the movie is about, but this guy Neil Breen lives in Las Vegas, and he shoots and like funds these videos by himself. He shoots them by himself, and he gets like his guy friends to like play the roles of the dudes in the film, and then he gets his like stripper friends to play the ladies in the film. And in this movie, I'm trying to think of things that I can say about it that will like not give it away, but like there's magic rocks, there's a trash bag room, there's lots of computers. I want you to be excited, but I also just want you to know that you might not be excited once you find out exactly what lots of computers means. There's drug use, there's
hard drugs,
true love, pretty hard. There's government conspiracies, there's mass suicide. It's an intense movie, and
this is all one movie.
How
long is it?
It's like a feature length film. It's like an hour and a half to 2 hours. But it's really, really good in how just bad it is. So if you get a chance, I'm not going to say anything else about it, but it's the best movie that I've watched in a a little while. Is Neil Breen's Fateful Findings. It's on YouTube.
On YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
For free?
For free.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of movies. That's the only one that I've seen so far, but he's got like five or six other like feature-length films that he's produced and done himself, and they're all on YouTube, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah. It's actually pretty nice. We have like a like just a get-together night where have a bunch of people over my house and we all watch movies or TV shows. It started because we were all watching Twin Peaks together. So that's where I saw that movie.
What is a good streaming show that you watched recently?
So Twin Peaks, we watched The Return. And then I've been catching up on Rick and Morty.
How far?
This,
are you into it?
We just watched Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick!
Yeah. And
that
it was
a deep episode.
Gosh. I'll watch Twin Peaks. Sean and I will watch like the original series of Twin Peaks, and some of those episodes can get pretty intense and heavy. And so I'm just like, let's watch something a little bit lighter. And then we watched Rick and Morty, and I'm like, oh my God. I think I just need to go to bed now. But
there's a lot of existential dread in
It's so good though. So good. Like the way that they are able to talk about such like really like deep subjects in in still comedic and entertaining and like thoughtful way is very, very amazing. I mean, it's worth the amount of time that we've waited for this season because it's been so good so far.
And the rest of it is just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Dan Harmon's and Justin Roiland are both incredibly talented.
Yeah. Most definitely. I feel like that's a little bit of a cop-out, but those are like sort of the two things that are on my list right now of things I'm watching.
Those are great things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about photography and videography.
Okay. I went to school for photography is what I ended up majoring in at Central Michigan University.
CMU,
yep, not Carnegie Mellon. it took me a little bit to get there. I had what I feel is a pretty typical college experience of figuring out where I wanted to be. A little bit late. But I ended up in the fine arts program and I really like both of those things. I went to CMU originally for videography, but ended up being disappointed with the program. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for, and found myself in the photography program, and that was a lot better. I had a lot of really great professors and peers in that program. This is a really good time for this screen. A lot of good professors and a lot of good peers. But I've been doing photography as like a hobby or like semi-professionally for like 5 years now, something like that. I really like it. I like being able to one thing that I really actually like doing is traveling alone, but like taking a lot of pictures and bringing those back and like editing them to reflect what that place looked like when I was there, and then being able to share that with like the people that I love via the internet and other means. So
do you ever edit mint into your photographs?
Edit what?
Mint. You ever edit mint in it?
I'm missing this joke. I don't know what you're saying.
Mint, the plant?
Oh, mint?
Mint.
No.
Oh.
Edit mint in my?
Edit mint in it.
No, I don't.
Oh, sometimes in the podcast, I'll edit mention it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's I do it a lot for the comedy community too. I'm sort of like I said earlier, I got into meeting a lot of people through helping out Sean. But yeah, I feel like I've come into my own space in terms of my own role in like documenting the things that are going on in this scene. So it's been cool.
Yeah. What is comedy to you?
To me, I think comedy is, you know, it's something that keeps me really like grounded and sane in this world. It's a creative outlet that's very important to me. You know, I don't particularly think that like everything is a joke, but I think that it's very important to be able to find humor in this world, especially in this day and age. For me, it's a release, like I said, a really good grounding force in my life. So
thank you.
Yeah.
If you knew for absolute certain that 1 year from now, humanity would go extinct, how would you spend that time?
Oh my gosh. I'd be really torn because I'd want to travel, but I guess would I just know or would everybody know?
Everybody knows.
Everybody knew. So I guess
that's interesting. That's a good question. And you were the only one that knew?
If I was the only one that knew.
Ooh. I like that twist. Let's do it that way.
That way, if I'm the only one that knew?
Yeah.
I think I would... Well, if it's an inevitability, then I don't know if I would even bother to tell people exactly. Because, you know, I'm just going to come off as a crackpot, right? So I would probably spend as much time with the people that I love as I could. I would spend as much time doing the things that I love as I could. And I would spend as much time like traveling and seeing the places that I love. So it'd probably be a balancing act between those three things. I don't know if I would be working anymore. Probably not.
Let's talk about stage production.
A good little segue. Yeah, I mean, that's what I do for my job. I got into it in college, and people, when they ask me, like, what I do for a living, it's, you know, it's kind of tough to pin it down because I do a lot, but generally I just like help produce live events is what it turns into, which is why I find myself pretty adept at doing that in the comedy scene also. But yeah, I mean, it's setting up stages and lights and sound systems and all that other kind of stuff. People think it's a lot more glamorous than it actually is. But yeah, I like it. It's close to what it is that I thought that I was going to be doing, or that I thought I wanted to be doing, like when I was in high school. I think the one thing that I wish mostly is that I was more involved with like events and productions that I cared more about, because the stuff that I've been doing, it's not particularly interesting to me specifically. So it is what it is.
Let's talk about Griff.
Okay. I am going to be performing in Griff with Sofa. And then I'll be there with Late Night Grand Rapids, and then I'll also be there with Funny Girls. So you'll probably be seeing me a lot at Griff. I've been meaning to put in my volunteer application for that, which Amy and Kristen have been pestering about a little bit on Facebook in a good way. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I wasn't here last year for it, so this is my first time seeing it. I'm excited to see the people that come and perform. And also excited to be a part of the performance and the production of it. So
yeah, we don't get too many outside improv troops coming to Grand Rapids, so this will be a treat.
Mm-hmm.
As well as seeing all of our local favorites.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Yeah.
The bar crawl is a good time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the bar crawl. And then I'm also looking forward to my performance with Late Night, which is going to be on that Wednesday at the Pyramid Scheme.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
With KJ.
KJ and the Good Time KJ Family Band. Yeah,
and they're going to be there too, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Wednesday, October, November something.
Yeah.
At Pyramid Scheme at some time in the evening.
Yep.
Or like somewhere between $5 and $15, yeah. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Those all sound just about right.
If you're vague enough, you get it right.
Yeah, there you go.
More details at GrandRapidsImprovFestival.com and on Facebook. Probably Grand Rapids Improv Festival.
Yeah,
GRIFF. I need to do more research on what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. It'll be a great time. There's all the events are, I think, live now. So if you just search for Griff, you'll be able to find things. And then if this podcast comes out in time for you to like help out and volunteer, I definitely would recommend to do that too.
I'm open to volunteering, but I don't like filling out forms.
Well, I think you know some people that would probably help you out in that regard.
Maybe. What other hobbies and interests do you have besides comedy?
So photography is a big one, but apart from that, I also really like printmaking, which is another thing that I studied in college.
Works of art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to be involved in printmaking and a lot of different ways to do it. My particular favorite is relief cut printmaking, which involves oftentimes linoleum blocks and or wood block prints.
Hmm.
And so basically it's just you start off with a blank piece of wood or linoleum, and you have carving tools, and you draw out your image that you'd like to make a print of, and then you carve away all of the places that you don't want the ink to be, and once you're finished carving it, you roll ink out on it, and then you lay paper on it, and you either send it through a press or you press it yourself with some specialized kinds of tools, and then and then you pull it and you've got a print. And then I like it a lot because you make a lot of them, and it's a really great way to share art with people. I've got a couple pieces that I've like drawn out, but I haven't started carving yet, and I just need to sit down and put some time in on them. But I've got some. I like working in big scale too. There's a lot of people that work in like little tiny like 3x3 or 5x5 blocks, and my favorite piece that I've ever done are a pair of 4-foot diameter circular pieces.
Circular,
like in a circle.
I thought it was just a different shape I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, circular.
Maybe you said circular.
Yeah.
My ears don't work so good now that I'm getting advanced in my...
In your age.
Age.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I had a long hair pop out of my ear hole the other day. Say, oh, man. I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, so those are my two favorite pieces that I have right now, and I have the prints of those hanging in my bedroom, and the blocks, which are the printing, what you print from, in my house also. But
and there's other forms of printing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different kinds of printmaking. Like there's screen printing, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's like, you know, t-shirts, like, right? T-shirts. Yep, but you can also, yep, like the one you're wearing. Probably, yep, the one I'm wearing. And then you can also do posters. That's a lot of posters that you'll see.
A couple prints on top of the shelf there, but yeah. I don't know how they were made.
Yeah, they look like they're digitally made. Those look like they were just digitally created and printed through a printer. And then there's
etchings.
Etchings.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I saw an exhibit at Graham of etchings.
Yeah, yep. I saw that one too. Yeah, that was really cool to go and see.
Free on Thursdays.
Yep. Graham is free on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Meyer, for providing that opportunity to our community.
You're looking for a gift card?
There's a million reasons a single store, Meyer Thrifty Acres, many convenient locations all around.
This is very true. This is very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Great selection of organic products and Meyer branded products also.
Yep. Are you a big organics fan?
Now they have a delivery with Shipt. Am I a big what fan?
Organic fan.
If it's something that I eat a lot of, then it seems like a better decision.
Yeah.
But lately I haven't had a lot of extra funds, so I've relapsed into drinking normal cow milk instead of organic cow milk.
Organic cow milk is supposed to actually be one of the few things that is legitimately better to buy organic. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I actually worked for Shipt for a little while. I'm still signed up with them. They still send me messages to like get on the schedule and take some shopping orders. But I've been so busy lately that I just haven't.
Was it pretty good?
It was fine. It was good work. I mean, it was enough to keep me, like, it was different enough time to time to keep me, like, motivated and not bored, but...
Were people good tippers, or...?
Some people were. Some people did not. Some people, like, I think they didn't realize that you can tip through the app.
Mm.
And, yeah, and I always felt weird about asking, like... Do you know about app tipping? Because you should if you don't.
Yeah.
So.
I do Uber driving sometimes, mm-hmm. and Uber added tipping, but nobody really uses it. So aww. It's like,
I do.
I mean, some people do, but it's a pretty low percentage.
Yeah. Most of it's just like, do you want to tip a $1, $3, or $5, and most of the time I only take $5 rides, so I'm like, this is kind of crappy, but I really only want to tip you a dollar because that's only 20%.
Still, like on a $5 ride, the mm-hmm. driver gets about $2.50, mm-hmm. so giving a dollar tip increases their wages by, what is that, 40%?
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that that was that much of a takeaway.
Yeah, Uber sucks on the... corporate and driver side of things.
So in
my opinion, lawyers, yeah, back off. Just expressing my opinions.
Yeah. So Meijer's great. Uber Meijer sucks.
Meijer's fantastic. From a consumer perspective, I don't know about working for Meijer.
I've heard goods and bads. You can talk to Brooke Heinz about working at Meijer. She has some things to say.
Oh. Probably only good things.
Mm-hmm.
Meijer. .com. Mild, medium, hot, or fire?
If this is Taco Bell sauce, there's only mild, hot, and fire now, I think.
This is not Taco Bell sauce.
What is it?
Just general.
I'm going to choose to interpret this then as temperature, and I like warmer temperatures, so probably like hot would be my choice, because I don't want to be physically burned, but I also like to be warm.
I'm a little salty at Taco Bell because I didn't win an Xbox One in their recent Quesarito box.
Oh, really?
Giveaway, yeah.
Oh.
Like, I wouldn't normally ever eat a steak Quesarito from Taco Bell ever, but there was a chance to win an Xbox One and a hefty lunch, so I was like,
so you about gotta. Well. Yeah.
So you get a steak Quesarito, a Dorito taco, which I had never tried before either.
I hear they fall apart.
They come in like a cardboard sheath.
Yep.
To hold it together. Deliver the taco. I didn't have problems with it falling apart. And it tastes like a taco inside of Doritos. So, I mean.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And then the Quesarito is steak. I'm making air quotes. Steak.
Right.
Technically steak. Legally, they're allowed to call it steak.
Legally.
So, it tastes like beef jerky in a really good way.
Because
I like beef jerky.
Okay.
No offense. I don't know.
I'm not offended. Okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
No.
You never know. 2017.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I feel like that's an excuse for a lot of things these days.
Yeah. So it tastes like beef jerky, and then it's like Mexican spiced rice, and then like two or three kinds of like nacho cheese. My God. I don't know what those food scientists are doing, but they nailed it. Like, it was so tastefully, not tastefully is not the right word. I don't want to say orally either.
it was good.
The way that the food made your mouth and brain feel was very stimulating, like the salty, savory, sweet combination.
Feel like that could be Taco Bell's new tagline. The way that our food makes your mouth and brain feel is good. Eat it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so incredibly unhealthy with all the like the crazy saturated fat and the cheese and so tasty. Food science, like, they've got it down.
Yeah.
All the synthetic weird chemicals and shit that they put in there.
Whatever, man. It tastes good, right?
It's ridiculous. Like, it's not fair that they can do that to people.
No, it's
really
not. With
the corn syrup beverage with the 100 grams of sugar in it. It's like a food form of heroin or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of documentaries on Netflix about that.
Yeah. But delicious.
But, yeah.
I don't regret it.
I had
several of them. I didn't win a fucking Xbox. Man, I would have sold it and bought a Nintendo Switch.
Wow.
I'm really excited for Mario Odyssey.
It
comes out 24 days from now.
Heard he has nipples.
Mario?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
You haven't? What? There was like a big thing on the internet about that. Like, there was like some promotional stuff, photos released, and one of them was in a world where Mario is in a bathing suit.
Ooh.
He's just wearing trunks, and he's got nipples on his chest, and everybody was like going nuts because apparently they're rather large. Like, I thought that they looked fine.
Nipples come in all shapes and sizes.
Right, yeah.
What, they're nipple-shaming Mario?
They are. In 2017, they're nipple-shaming Mario.
Social media is ridiculous. I know. I'm still looking forward to the game, regardless of any controversy.
Yeah. I look forward to your commentary on that bit whenever you find out about it.
Well, the timing's terrible with Griff. Starting like 3 days after Mario comes out.
Yeah.
I don't. If I buy Mario, then I probably would miss a lot of the improv shows. So
you gotta like hold off on buying it. Yeah.
That's so difficult though.
Ah.
I love Mario games. Those are my favorite video game.
Yeah.
Series components.
Not a big gamer, but I did like the Mario games a lot too. We were a Nintendo family.
Oh yeah. You're just exploring a new world and seeing new things. Solving puzzles. It's fun. It's fun. Everyone. What does it mean to be a comedian?
I think it like literally just means that you put in time and energy into your comedy. It's that's I think a really boring definition, but it's also not one that is like easy either. It's deceptive. You're just like, oh, to be a comedian, you just have to put in the time and energy into comedy, but really it's tough, especially when you're a real person who has like a job and family and, you know, friends and relationships and you know, a lot of other things going on in your life, and you know,
not enough hours in the day.
Exactly.
But who are some of your role models?
I think a pretty big one early on would be my one of my teachers in high school. His name is Jeremy, and we're actually he was Jeremy in school too. He wasn't ever Mr. Olson, and that's because he was a teacher's aide, and so we called him by his first name. And
it's very casual.
It is.
Is it a public school?
It is a public school. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
but he was an aide in the radio and TV broadcasting program in my high school, and he really helped me discover a lot in terms of film and production and editing and other things like that. And he was actually really influential too in when I went vegetarian, because that was like my junior year of high school, I think. And he had been a vegetarian already for like a decade or more, and he like turned me on to a bunch of cookbooks and other like cool recipes and ideas and things like that. So he was just a really good person in my life, really, really good influence. Apart from that, I think I'm just influenced a little bit by a lot of people. I think that especially here in the Grand Rapids community, there's like a lot of really great people that are very dedicated and doing a lot of really great work. And I'm continually influenced by how motivated and driven they all are. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yoga.
Okay. Same guy, actually. Great segue. So Jeremy is part of the reason why I got into yoga. He knew that I was a new vegetarian and had somewhat of an interest in yoga. And so he invited me out to this retreat that happens every summer. In exchange for helping out with the cooking at this retreat, I got to attend the yoga classes for free.
Good deal.
Yeah. And so that really kind of got me jump-started into it. I don't do it. I don't do it as much as people think I do. Because I get asked about it a lot. And I like it. And I use a lot of the different, like, things that I've learned from it, like meditation and the different types of stretches and things in different situations in my life. But I'm not like a person that like gets up and does like a yoga flow every morning or anything like that. So, but it's a good
practice.
What's
a yoga flow?
It's a series of like a sequence of poses that you flow from one to the other. So, A common one is the sun salutation, and that's a one that they'll teach you in a beginner's class and branch out from there. But
I've been interested in yoga.
I see you have a mat out on your floor.
Yes. I don't do anything formal, but it helps if you want to lay on the ground and not be pained by the floor.
Yeah, yoga mats are very, they're actually very nice to sit on.
Yeah. just stretch things. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Halloween.
Ooh, okay. Do you have anything? Are you going to dress up for Halloween?
I don't know.
Maybe? I haven't dressed up for Halloween in like years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I have the dog costume.
I was going to say, you've got a great dog costume now.
Yep,
so.
That was my last Halloween dress up, I believe.
Mm, okay.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm going to be. For the last like few Halloweens, I've been invited to costume parties and stuff like that, but it's always just been sort of a cop out. Didn't really think about it long enough to put a witch's hat on or draw like whiskers on my face or something like that. So nothing like too involved. But my friend, Dara and Miles. Miles has a his family owns a costume shop here in Grand Rapids called Theatrix, and they do costumes for theater productions and stuff that. So legit stuff. Real costumes, yeah.
Not that 5 cent disposable costume being sold for $40
right.
at a strip mall pop up.
Right, right. So I've been toying around with the idea of like going there and seeing what they have and seeing if I feel inspired by anything.
Mm.
But I'm excited about Halloween. I'm looking forward to like the leaves changing. I like this time of year generally. It's nice.
Yeah.
Not like a Halloween fanatic like some people can be.
Some people are.
Some people get real spooky.
It used to be my favorite holiday, and then I got cynical about how consumption-driven it is,
mm-hmm.
especially for younger people. Overindulgence and...
Yeah.
Maybe it's good, though. Like, people overindulge a little bit and learn the pain of that, so they avoid the candy and alcohol in the future.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
Maybe it's all...
Maybe, but yeah, some people just don't learn, though, too.
Yeah.
And they just learn to overindulge and not to, you know, hold back, self-restrain.
Yeah, it's a little hard to see, like, billions of dollars being spent on candy, but there's someone making all that candy. Like, people are growing the ingredients to go into it, so it's good
right.
for the economy. I guess.
I don't know. I felt the same way about Christmas a bit, too. And, I used to love Christmas a lot, and then I got to a point where I realized that, it's just, consumerism. For some people. And, I think, the spirit of it is still there, but there's so much, consumerism involved in it now that it's tough to separate the two sometimes. And
yeah,
but I'm trying, working a little bit harder. I feel like that with a lot of holidays. I feel very disillusioned. Just
yeah,
Halloween and Valentine's Day are just for making the candy, you know, company's money, and
the card,
you know,
companies,
Thanksgiving
companies
is just overconsumption of food, and no one cares about what actually happened, and the real reason we should be celebrating Thanksgiving and the real people that we should be celebrating it for.
Watch football, and
right?
Drink your beer
and then go shopping the next day.
Oh yeah, Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So exciting to
get those deals.
Deals.
Deals. Deals. Deals.
Yep. There's some good deals. That's the only day of the year when video game consoles get discounted.
Yeah, and but that's the only day of the year too that people get trampled to death in Walmarts, so
yeah. just a couple.
Just a couple.
Capitalism.
Yay.
Sometimes people get trampled. The wheel keeps on rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Keep them doggies rolling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Rawhide. Mm-hmm. No, What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
I'm a person that likes breakfast. I'm a breakfast person. So, I was recently introduced to Marie Catribe's.
Ooh.
Really liked it there. I've got to wake up earlier and get there earlier. I've been there like 2 or 3 times where I've like walked in and I'm like, that line is too long, and just like gone somewhere else. And then, yeah, so that one comes to mind specifically because I've been wanting it, but I haven't been able to have it recently.
Are eggs pescatarian?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah. Well, most vegetarians are ovo-lacto vegetarians, meaning they eat eggs and cheese along with vegetables.
Okay.
And so most pescatarians are like vegetarians that also eat fish. So most of them are, it's sort of like stepping stones. And then vegans don't eat eggs or dairy. They just eat the veggies.
Anything animal derived, I think.
Some so vegans.
Even like honey.
Yeah, some vegans are really
sticklers.
Sticklers about it, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, and then I'm trying to think apart from that, like Stella's has really great vegetarian options. They have 2 really good burgers, veggie burgers there, but then like I've been really impressed with their vegetarian specials that they have. They'll have a special every month.
Have you had their meatloaf?
No.
Vegetarian meatloaf.
Oh, wow. No. I'll have
it's
to
delicious.
Try that. Yeah. I'll
yeah.
have to try it.
If they still have it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I try not to go to Stella's.
No.
Nope.
Not a big fan of Stella's.
It's a lot of demonic imagery on the walls, a lot of black and red colors.
This is fair.
Yep.
There's a lot of that. It's cool.
Something. I like that they show Rick and Morty on the TVs.
Yeah, yeah. And Family Feud and
like Star Trek. Old Star Trek. Original.
Mm-hmm. And the Nickelodeon game shows. I'm sure I've seen them play like Full House and stuff too. They're very nostalgic.
Yeah.
Bar.
What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
I really like when you are in an improv scene or in a sketch and you just find that magic moment where you gel with everyone. And, sometimes, you know, it comes out of practice, but sometimes it just like happens out of nowhere. And it's just like you leave the stage feeling like that was a great scene. Like that was a great sketch or that was a great improv scene. And it was great because I worked together with the people that were up on stage with me. I'm a big advocate of teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool when you can find those moments that you just gel with people.
And what is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
Seeing those moments on stage is a big one. And also making, you know, I like it when I'm made to think in ways that are like unexpected, and to think about things from a new angle and stuff like that.
The final question of the interview portion of the show, if you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
I would just like tell her, I would give her like a synopsis of like where she's at in life, because I'd be torn, you know, because if I didn't have like a limit on words, if I could like sit down and have a conversation with her and just say like,
nope, just one thing.
Just one thing?
Just one thing.
Okay. Well, then if it was just one thing, I would probably tell her that like there's going to be a lot of really great things that happen in your life coming up, and there's going to be a lot of really hard things that happen in your life coming up, but just know that they're both going to happen and that you're going to get through it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to set up a transition into the break, but
you've been working on this one for a while, yeah.
I haven't found the right thing yet.
You haven't found, like, the right music program or anything?
I use Audacity, mm-hmm. which is free open source audio editing.
But, like, doesn't have any, like, sound bits or anything like that?
Not that I've found.
All right, well.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of performance, musical or otherwise, whatever you're feeling, and then ring the bell to let me know that you're done.
Okay.
And we can take a short break here.
Do 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 do.